Welcome, this is Couples Counseling for Parents, a show about couple relationships, how they work, why they don't, what you can do to fix what's broken.
Here are our parents,
our dad, Dr. Stephen Mitchell,
and our mom, Erin Mitchell.
Hello, and thanks for joining us today on Couples Counseling for Parents. I'm Dr. Stephen Mitchell.
I'm Erin Mitchell.
And on today's show, we want to talk about how your parenting can be a direct influence on your level of connection and intimacy with your parenting partner.
I think in a lot of ways, this is self-evident. Like, of course, your parenting is a major impact on your relationship. But I think in other ways, it frustrates people.
Yeah, I think you would think it's self-evident, but I think it becomes frustrating because, so here's an example. Let's give an example. This is how it can become frustrating. Let's say Stephen is caught in a parenting moment with one of his kids. And in this parenting moment, he says something or interacts with his kid in a way with like elevated tone of voice, a little more intense energy maybe than he wants to. And Erin hears this or sees this. And she, being the more regulated parent in the moment, goes, whoa, what's happening here? And maybe she interjects in the moment. Maybe she just lets the moment move on. But the moment passes. Let's say Stephen then realizes like, oh, you know, like that's not the way I wanted to interact with our kids, my tone of voice, my energy, it was off. Go to, you know, our kid and say, hey, I apologize. I was wrong. That's my bad. I don't want to use that tone of voice with you. I'm sorry if it frustrated you or felt scary, whatever it might be. And kind of repairs with kid. But then what is left is the interaction between Stephen and Erin. Because maybe Stephen walks into the kitchen and Erin is giving him the vibe that there's something going on. And in that, like, I maybe feel some confusion.
You?
Well, my name is Stephen. I don't think anyone out there listening is like, what? He was talking about himself? So let's say I walk in and I'm like, whoa, like these are some very cold vibes that I'm receiving from Erin. And I think that this often happens because maybe, you know, I ask, hey, what's up? What's wrong with you? And
everybody loves that question.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? It's very inviting. What's your problem? And, you know, Erin responds like, are you kidding me? Like, the way you just interacted with our kid, like I'm upset. Like I'm upset about that. Like I wish you hadn't done that. Like I don't like it when that happens, and I'm kind of like, what? Like oh, we fit. Like we're cool. Like we fixed it. Like we repaired. But what hasn't happened is there's been no repair between
us.
And then I think that creates a conflict. A place of disconnection for parenting partners. And although you said it's like, it's pretty self-evident, I think that this happens all the time.
We talk to couples all of the time, that are frustrated with this. I think, mutually, I think for different reasons. So we will continue with us as the example because this has been us a lot of times.
Sure.
And I want to point out, you started the example. I think that's very humble of you. I've actually thought about this lately. In a lot of our podcast examples, the villain is you.
I'm the villain. I don't want to
villainize.
I mean, it's also true.
This happens both ways.
Yes, it does.
It happens to different
degrees. You're often
degrees.
Wrong and make bad, just bad parenting often.
This happens to both partners. I do think, though, there is a difference. I think typically one partner in our relationship,
it more than I do in terms of the.
I'm going to come back when Stephen feels like he has just run this joke into the ground. So go ahead. Take it away.
I'm done.
I think one partner typically has a higher stress tolerance for their kids. For us, I think that's me mostly. Like, I think I tolerate mess different, easier. Sure. I tolerate just like overall chaos.
Noise, everything.
I've also typically interacted, I mean, honestly, just like more minutes per day with our kids.
True.
Which I think helps me understand like this is where they might be or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just think there's a different thought process maybe even. I'm not sure if that part resonates. But regardless, I have mostly a different stress tolerance with our kids. I think I typically flip my lid less often with them. I flip my lid more often with Steven.
Tell me about it.
When he flips his lid with our kids.
Yeah, that's true.
And when I am stressed with our kids or my tone's elevated, Steven comes in and is less activated.
And
that isn't as activating.
Yeah, let's be clear. When we say flip our lid, like we are not are not talking about like anything in any way, shape, or form that would mirror or reflect anything abusive or inappropriate in terms of how you interact with your kids, yelling, hitting, like
anything,
rage or anything like that. What we're talking about is those everyday frustrations,
like put your shoes on because I said
like being a human, and those interactions that,
well, when our stress gets the best of our humanity.
Exactly.
But I do think when I have when I say flip to my lid, like I literally, who am I talking about?
Dan Siegel, his book Whole Brain Child, he uses that analogy about when we become dysregulated, what's happened is neurologically we flipped our lid, which is our frontal cortex is absent from being engaged. And so he kind of it's a really helpful term. You know,
it is a term that our family uses all of the time, probably. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not every day, but maybe every day. Like that inability to like, this doesn't need to be this big of a deal, and my response is actually going to make
I'm overwhelmed.
Right.
Like life is overwhelmed. So
yes. So I was just pointing out, like, it does happen both ways. It does trend to interrupt our relationship more when you have gotten frustrated with the kids.
That's so true, because I think like when I see that, it doesn't necessarily
activate you.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
It doesn't.
I think never. Like, I can't honestly think of a moment.
I don't think
where
I've ever. Yeah. So, you know, maybe I think that's something to know. You know, maybe between you and your partner, there's a different level of activation. But nonetheless, like, that when it happens for you and you feel activated by that, that interrupts our connection, that interrupts our level of intimacy. And I think that there's this. Well, I'm curious. Like, I think what we've heard from other couples, and I think you would maybe reflect this, is that it is that idea of like, in that moment, Stephen, you seem like you're like being threatening to the kid. Like the kids are scared, or the kids are upset, or whatever it is. It kind of puts the kids in a bad situation. And there's a feeling of like, why would you do that?
Oh, for sure. I think, I think there is something very instinctually protective that happens in me where I say, you don't get to make my kid worry they're in trouble or anything. Like,
And so I think why this becomes important.
Especially when it's you.
Yeah, especially when it's me. It's me more often.
And I might have misunderstood what you were saying.
No. I think that's a good point. I think why this becomes important is because I think that the partner who is, you know, the Steven in this situation, I think can miss the reality that there needs to be a level of repair between their partner in those instances as well, rather than I think what happens is a level of defensiveness. Like, why are you criticizing my parenting? Or why are you saying like, oh, you're the perfect parent, so you never make a mistake. Oh, I guess, you know, we just all need to be more like, whatever happens is it.
You didn't actually finish that sentence, but I think that's right. Like, you just want me to be more like you.
Right.
And then I think the most common phrases we hear, and honestly, from you. I mean, it's been a long time because I think this is something, while it doesn't never happen anymore, mm-hmm. it definitely happens less often. The intensity is not so big between us because mm-hmm. we know what needs to happen.
Sure.
And it doesn't have to last that long. But I think something early on, it would be like what you heard in me saying, like, please don't do that. Like, don't, right. like, they're hungry or that, you know, sure. like they yeah, don't yeah. like those shoes. They've said mm-hmm. it for five straight days. Why would, like, why would those be the only shoes you brought?
Yeah.
Whatever. Is if you've never brought the wrong shoes. Like it feels this right, like I'm saying I'm perfect and I'm saying that you're always terrible.
Right,
and and I think that's the defense we hear a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not what's happening.
And if that is what's happening, that is a completely separate
sure.
conversation where everyone does need to be really reflective about, of course, no one's a perfect mm-hmm. parent. No one always does the thing the right way. We all do get overwhelmed, or the, you know, the noise
right.
is too much and the groceries just arrived and all at once. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
But how we talk about it matters a lot.
Yeah. And I think that then also what happens in this, and I think you were kind of alluding to it a little bit too, is you can get into some, you kind of get into a parenting differences conversation, I think, where you begin to, again, like I could get really defensive. Like I could say, get really defensive and be like, no, you know, they need to learn, or, hey, you know, life isn't always easy, you know, and sometimes they're going to have people kind of talk to them in a rough way and they got to figure out how to, you know, deal with that. Like, and these are the things that begin to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does begin to be about
Parenting
and difference. And then, and really, I think one of the ways to think about this as parenting partners is what you're talking about, why this all matters is because you're talking about your connection with your partner, and that our parenting and how we parent causes it, like influences how we think and feel about our partners.
100%.
So when I see, you know, you, Aaron, like interact with our kids in a loving, kind, just, you know, really like wonderful way, that causes me to feel good about you.
Oh, similarly.
As a person, right?
I mean, the times when I feel like filled with love for Steven, especially now as parents, mm-hmm. but I mean, honestly, even before, I would be sitting with him with kids, but now as parents, like watching something, like I even look through pictures of Stephen with our kids. I was literally doing that this afternoon. I showed him this picture. I mean, it was just them sleeping.
Oh, that's right.
Two of our kids and Stephen sleeping. And I mean, they're just like a pile. Everyone's just on top of Stephen.
Sleep pile.
Yeah. And it melts me. I'm mm-hmm. like, you're my favorite person in the whole entire universe. And I'm
right.
so glad they have you. And like, yes, it definitely builds connection and
right.
movement towards an intimacy.
And I think this is why it really matters. Because if you see your partner treat your kids in a way that feels good and supportive and connective, you say, oh, that means they can do that with me. But if you see your partner treat your kids in a way that doesn't feel connective, but feels dismissive or harsh or too intense, whatever it is, then it's like, oh no, that's how they treat me. Or that's how they might treat me. And it begins to really influence how partners communicate with one another. And so I think what it ends up doing is the Aarons in the story can become more rigid and the Stevens in the story can become more defensive because I think the Aarons in the story say, hey, don't treat our kid like that.
Well,
you better not do that. You need to start doing this. And then it start monitoring the parenting and start monitoring all the interactions in a way that is to protect, quote unquote, protect. And what that means for the Stevens is that defensiveness, that doubling down on, you know what, like, you know, don't tell me how to parent, like, you know, why you do the same thing, you know, all these kinds of things. And I think that just is, you know, traveling down a road you don't want to go.
I think in a way I think about this is very often when we see this, because what there's a triangle now, right? Like where they're supposed to be just like us, and then right. our kids are like with us, and like right. it's us, and we're here, and
right.
But now I think the Aarons in this see you, the Stevens, as a barrier to the connection with family? My kids.
Sure,
yeah, like
sure.
you. Are something I have mm-hmm. to I have to monitor. Like
right,
you are
right.
something that needs monitoring.
Yeah.
And I think opposite, I think the Stevens in this scenario feel like our kids are a barrier to our connection.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so like they're the stress that must be like taken care of and contained right. so that we can get back to being close and connected.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you're the right. problem. Like
yeah.
the way you handle our kids is something that needs to be contained.
And so this is why it is really important for you as partners to figure out how you want to parent, to try to be on the same pages, you know, relatively close in terms of parenting and parenting styles, not because it is all about how it influences your relationship.
And I think this is another thing where things get sticky. You mm-hmm. you do need to have the same parenting style approach. Implementation is something that is so unique.
That is a key distinction.
Because Stephen and I are
Say it again. You need to be on the same page in terms of parenting style
approach. I think it's fundamental to having a healthy uh-huh. family interaction, both as a couple, parents, all of it, the whole thing.
An approach means this is our perspective on kids. This is our perspective on what our kids need. This is our perspective on how we want to foster a relationship with our kids. Those kind of
yes.
fundamental things. And then parenting style approach, same page, but
the implementation,
how you
it's nuanced.
Enact that.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean because we do things. I mean, the example I constantly use, which is the most ridiculous example ever in the whole universe, is the finger puppets.
Oh, you've mentioned the finger puppets.
I will forever, because it was the first time I noticed like, this is important to me. Finger
right.
puppets make our baby laugh. Use the finger puppets. And Stephen was like, Aaron, I'm going to sit down with you and level. It's been 2 weeks of you asking for me to use the finger
yeah.
puppets. And do you want to know when I'm going to use the finger puppets?
Mm-hmm.
Never. I am never going to use the finger puppets.
Yeah. And I think the approach, the idea being like, you know, the approach being like, you know what, kids, you know, quote unquote, they need that engagement, and they need that play, and they need that attention from a parent. They need that joy and delight, you know.
You have never heard a belly laugh right, till you've heard the
right.
finger puppet belly laugh.
And so the approach, we have the same, Aaron and I have the same thought.
Yeah,
same
you're
view
like,
on
I
that.
Totally agree.
But I will never implement that approach through the use of finger puppets.
And you said,
yeah, like,
I'm never going to do that. It's not interesting to me. It wouldn't be fun for the baby because
sure.
I wouldn't be having fun. You think it's hilarious because you think it's hilarious.
Yeah. yeah. I might
Trust
implement it
me.
By like making funny faces or wrestling around or, you know, kind of,
yeah.
you know, whatever it might be. And that is such a significant distinction.
Difference.
That
mm-hmm.
that's big stuff there.
But and I think that isn't, I mean, that's obviously much easier said than done,
mm-hmm.
kind of. But it does take some proaction, not in the heats of these moments. The heats of these
the
moments.
Well,
you
also said that it takes some proaction in the heats of these moments.
I don't know how to undo that at this point.
It takes being proactive.
Not in the heat of the moment.
Ah, okay.
Oh, so sorry. You don't work out your uh-huh. parenting styles when you're frustrated or right
sure.
after a parent has just elevated their tone or just
right.
given the exasperated, like,
yeah.
never mind.
But you can't have this perspective of, you know what, you do your own thing, I'm going to do my own thing.
No, that's right. That causes an instant chasm.
But because that, and this is why it is important, like parenting, how you parent is so connected to your level of intimacy and connection with your partner. And I think that many partners experience this level of disconnection and lack of intimacy because this is one of the things that they are,
begins like, to break down.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and they have this idea of, well, you can have a different approach and you should be, you should be okay. And it's like, no, I really do think you need to have the same approach, but how you implement it can be different. And that's, and I think, back to the example, right? I think where this comes into play again is like, so from Aaron and I's approach, like with
Aaron's listen to us. We're all over the place.
Not very good with the English language.
You.
I am never good with heats of moments. Whatever. Yeah. Sorry. You know what we mean. In the idea of the approach is Aaron and I are on the same page. You know, like we don't want to be interacting with our kids from a dysregulated place. That is not beneficial for anyone. And so in that moment, really what we're talking about is, oh, you know what? Like what Aaron is noting in me is like, hey, you're not coming with the approach that we talked about or the approach that we agreed on or kind of where we want to come from as parents. And I don't have to be defensive about that because I can say, you know what? Like, I agree with you on the approach and I missed it. I don't need to be like, oh no, me coming with an elevated tone of voice and a level of intensity is exactly the approach that we want to take with our kids. I can be like,
like you did yesterday.
Right.
I mean, you said the same thing.
Right.
But so I think to some extent we've talked about this before. And I think this is where a playful for us, it always works with humor. I think always mm-hmm. is right. To playfully or with humor say some sort of cue to pause the moment to say, right. You are not where you mean to be right now.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Would you like for me to step in? Or sometimes that alone is like, whoa, I am not where I want to be, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. And you can flip it right then. And that's situation dependent. Right. But like knowing that cue so you can stop right then before things get worse is really important. But I think what you were talking about earlier, I think is the second really important part. And there's only one more. But coming, repairing, do the repair work
with,
there.
With the kid, with mm-hmm. our kid. Yes. Go repair.
And I think it's important that the Aarons in this don't need to see that. It's fine if they do. Mm-hmm. But like, it's not something that, like, I need to be a part of this either way. But I do need to know about it. Mm-hmm. But then also repair has to happen here.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that, hey, like, yeah, and I think repair could be as simple as this because in the moments that we've had where this has happened, I think maybe tell me if this is right or not. I think what happens is there might be I might come back and be like, hey, you were right. Like thanks for saying something or thanks for giving me kind of the look or thanks for, I was not being my best self. I appreciate that. Sorry. Thanks. I've talked to, so-and-so about it and that's worked out. Like that kind of.
Yeah,
because that would feel like a repair to me in terms of acknowledging what had happened.
Totally. I don't think, I mean, that you were right.
Well, it doesn't have to be a you were right, but that's something I might.
I think that's, again, I think that's couple specific. I think you need to know each other's stories. I think it's always helpful to know, like, I was super stressed. And it was like the 49th thing. And it was like, know how I've been. Mm-hmm. I keep using the shoes example, but I'm just going to keep going with it. All their shoes are in the car because all of their shoes are always in the car. And these were the shoes that were there. And it just was too much. And it was like context. Again, explanations aren't excuses, but explanations are like, oh, yeah, you're a person who has feelings. Right, and sure. I remember that now. And that is really frustrating. And that's totally happened to me. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I think the other thing is I think when this is thematic, when this feels like it keeps happening, there has to be like, and this is what we're going to do to change it or like I'm going to start.
We've got to get in line with our parent. Like, mm-hmm. like
it's not enough to just
theoretically we agree on the approach, but like in the implementation, like there's sort of a repeated like operation outside of the approach that I think that is where there has to be some difference and some accountability and some like, okay, like you were saying, what are we going to do?
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. I would love to hear your comments on this, but like we can all relate to us having something that is the thing. Like it's for me, it's I don't really get all that overstimulated. But when I do, and then there's music, and then there's mm-hmm. a mess, and then there's another mm-hmm. mess, and then all the dishes are still in the sink, and then right. the lunch boxes are still in the bags, and whatever. It just, for me, it stacks up. I think that's true for all of us. It's just those happen to be my things.
Yep.
I get that. When I see that that happened for you, like you had a really stressful day at work, you came sure. in, the house is a disaster. We all are running late. We were supposed to have already done five things and we're minutes behind and we're going to be late, whatever, all the things. And we can relate to that. Like we are all people. It's not, we're not asking for relational perfection. I want you to be a perfect parent all the time. But I do want to know we're taking accountability by not just acknowledging it, but by having a plan.
And then doing something.
Like, I think that's really important. That mm-hmm. you're working on something to proactively reduce stress so you don't mm-hmm. walk in and at 11 mm-hmm. already, you've been around us for 30 seconds and you're already mad or whatever. And vice versa. I think you've asked for that of me. Like, I need you to take some time, like take a walk, have lunch with that friend, whatever it is, but like do the things that...
That help.
That help. Mm-hmm. Or talk to someone. Go get a therapist. Resolve that issue. You lose your patience too quickly. Work on that. Like, I think those are the more, you know, that's an expensive option. But it is something that I think a lot of us need to do is to process some of these things.
Yeah. And I think one of the things to think about, you know, oftentimes people think about, well, we need to do this for our kids. And I think that is very true. But also, you need to do it for your relationship. Like you're like, so oftentimes, like, think about wanting to be a good parent, not just for the sake of your kids, but for the sake of your relationship with your partner. Because when you are parenting, like, in sync and, like in a way that feels good to you both, like you'll feel more connected as a couple.
I think I've said it, I was whispering it under you, but also for yourself.
Yeah. And for yourself.
Yes. I mean, we parent our kids out of how we parent ourselves. You know, our external voice is our internal voice. And just as a person, we deserve that kindness too. We deserve, and our best self is our best partner, is our best parent, is all of those things.
And so I think that, you know, the idea here is
our whole self, maybe not best self, our whole
self. Think about parenting as vitally important to the wellness of your kids, to the wellness of your whole self, and to the wellness of your partner relationship. Today's show was produced by Aaron and Stephen Mitchell. If you're enjoying the podcast, please hit the follow button and leave us a rating. This helps our content become more visible to others who might enjoy it, and it lets us know how we can keep improving the show. And as always, we're grateful for you listening. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Couples Counseling for Parents. And remember, working on a healthy couple relationship is good parenting.